Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight is a particular honor for me because, let's face it, my presence on this stage is pretty unlikely. My father was a foreign student, born and raised in a small village in the city. He grew up herding goats, went to school in a tin roof shack. His father, my grandfather, was a cook.
Welcome to Current Events with Patrick Cook. I'm your host, Patrick Cook, coming to you live from Dallas, Texas. I do every Sunday at 4 p.m. Central Time, 5 o'clock Eastern. We are the number one resource for small business and nonprofits. To learn how you can showcase your website, go to our website at TaylorMade101.com. That's TaylorMade101.com. Today we are joined by a very special guest today, Darrell Matthews, a.k.a. Reverend Darrell. Now, Darrell became an ordained minister at the age of 24 and was the pastor of a church for a few years. Since that time, he completed a degree in computer programming and worked in middle management for about 20 years. Now, however, the travel that he did required his job prevented Reverend Darrell from continuing as a pastor. And in 2005, he had some complications from neck surgery, which preventing him from working for 2 years. This gave him an opportunity to get involved in child advocacy. He started an internet campaign which was focused on child abuse awareness and began counseling victims of abuse based on his ministry credentials. Eventually, he was accepted into P. Luna Foundations and now serves as a volunteer of one of the biggest advocates. Now, also, later in the show, I will be joined by my co-host, Jima. So sound the alarm. Get on Facebook, Twitter. Send out emails and text messages. Call your friends and family and tell them to tune in right now to Current Events with Patrick Cook. So to join the conversation, the number to call is 323-580-5712. Once again, the number is 323-580-5712. And for those of you that are listening via Blog Talk Radio, leave your comments. Click the follow button or follow me on Twitter at TaylorMade101. But first, let's take a look at our current events. Now, there's an article, there's a debate ensuing over whether to replace a former slave owner with a hero of the Underground Railroad. In a story in the Washington Post by J. Freeman Dulac, Harriet Tubman, the famous abolitionist, is locked in an historical steel cage match with the increasingly forgotten patriot John Hanson, one that's playing out not far from John Hanson Highway in Annapolis, where Maryland lawmakers, historians, and activists have been debating whether to refresh the state's history by dumping Hanson in favor of Tubman. At stake is one of 100 marble pedestals in the exclusive, if not always accessible, National Statuary Hall collection at the U.S. Capitol. Now, for the past 108 years, Hanson, a leading advocate of American independence, has been honored at the Capitol with a larger-than-life statue that the public almost never sees. Wearing a tricon hat, waistcoat, breeches, and other colonial area clothes, the old Southerner Marylander's 7'3" bronze likeness peers down at lawmakers and legislative aides rushing through a restricted access corridor outside the Senate chamber. And the story goes on to say that now Hanson could be in jeopardy of fading even further into the obscurity, with Maryland lawmakers considering a proposal to replace the former slave owner with the hero of the Underground Railroad. Again, this is an article in the Washington Post about a slave owner named John Hanson, and they want to replace his statue with Harriet Tubman. So over the coming days, you're probably going to see this debate gets some traction because of the racial tensions or the racial undertones or overtones associated with this change. So just keep your eyes open for this particular debate in the coming days. Also in the news, Dr. Richard B. Hoover, an astrobiologist at NASA's Marshall Space Flight Center, published his findings in Friday night's edition of the Journal of Cosmology, a peer-reviewed scientific journal. Hoover discovered the fossils in an extremely rare type of meteorite called the CI1 carbonaceous chondrites, of which a mere 9 specimens exist here on the planet Earth. This comes in the wake of the unexplained sighting in California of a mass coming from the sea and disappearing before thousands of witnesses on the evening of November 8 in 2010. It also comes in the wake of hundreds of thousands of unexplained dead animals falling from the sky all over the world. In fact, 8,000 doves fell dead in Italy. Dead birds fell from the sky in Sweden. Millions of dead fish found in Maryland, Brazil, New Zealand. Many people have suggested for many years that something strange happened in Roswell in 1947. So with all of these new discoveries, I wonder will they finally be vindicated? Well, we'll let you be the judge of that. But I would like to know, how does knowing alien life and the fact that something has been encouraged, the United States has been encouraged to explore this over the last several decades, how does this knowing alien life affect your world of view now? There have been found evidence that this alien life exists. I will be interested to know, you know, how does this affect your life? So, to join the conversation, the number to call is 323-580-5712. Now, each week I do a component called Moment of Reflections. This week, my Moment of Reflections is, if I had to put a title on it, I'm going to call it All Politics is Local. Now, in The Economist this week, there was an article entitled "The Republicans Who Dare Takes Him On." Despite their victories at the midterms, the Republicans seem oddly slow to start choosing a presidential candidate. The article stated, "By the absurdly elongated standards of American politics, next year's presidential election is not that far away. It is less than a year until the first primaries and caucuses. By this time 4 years ago, 8 Republicans and 10 Democrats had already thrown their hats in the ring. So far this year, no serious candidate has done so, although Newt Gingrich, a former House Speaker, has supposedly been on the point of declaring for some days. He has not done so. No presidential election, in fact, has got off to such a slow start since 1992, when, as now, there was an incumbent president and no obvious front runner ready to take him on. There is no shortage of Republicans who consider themselves presidential timber, of course, but their slowness to register officially as candidates is an indication of the peculiar dynamics of this particular race. The main thing holding Republicans back is no doubt they want to know if whether or not that Barack Obama is beatable. After their thumping success in midterms, many of the party's leaders declared that they were well on their way to retaking the White House. But that is a daunting task. Only 3 sitting presidents have lost re-election bids since the Second World War. All 3, Gerald Ford, Jimmy Carter, and George Bush Sr., faced determined primary opponents, whereas disgruntlement with Mr. Obama on the left though considerable, does not appear severe enough to spawn a vexing challenger. Moreover, Messrs. Ford and Bush were ousted only after the White House had been under the control of their party for 8 and 12 years, respectively. Mr. Obama took office just 2 years ago, after 8 years of Republican sway. And Mr. Obama is a stellar campaigner with an unrivaled ability to attract volunteers and donations. He has been careful over the past 2 years to preserve the machine that got him elected last time, merely changing his name from Obama for America to Organizing for America. The assumption is that he will mount as slick and well-funded a campaign in 2012 as he did in 2008. As Haley Barbour, governor of Mississippi and a potential Republican candidate himself, said recently, Mr. Obama is one of the greatest politicians in the history of the United States. So let me reflect for a moment. Now, these are some nice flowery words, of course, but I want you to pay attention to two specific things. First, I mentioned at the top of the moment of reflection the phrase, all politics is local. Now, all politics is local is a common phrase in U.S. politics. In fact, the former U.S. Speaker of the House, Tip O'Neill, coined this phrase, which encapsulates the principle that a politician's success is directly tied to his ability to understand and influence the issues of his constituents. Politicians must appeal to the simple, mundane, and everyday concerns of those who elect them into office. Those personal issues, rather than big and intangible ideas, are often what voters care most about, according to this principle. Politicians often use this against one another as well to hit each other where it hurts most, back at home, rather than on the floor of Congress. The concept is contrary to the notion that most people somehow in local elections are casting votes to send a message to the highest levels. Instead, the principle predicts the most people will not vote for local politicians. Again, the principle predicts that most people will not vote for local politicians simply as a means to act on feelings about higher politicians, such as concerns about a current U.S. president. Now, in my opinion, this explains the situation with Governor Scott Walker. The prediction is most people who vote or debate issues are focused on resolving their local issues, and the fact that the Republican Party got this victory leads me to believe that the reason why they're not getting into the race, one of the reasons that is because they have won a lot of key positions in the local states, so therefore they don't have to focus on the national politics. That's why the governor can come in and make these laws and change these rules and all of that, because they know people did not get engaged into the local politics. Their concern is about national politics, and in a lot of cases really don't affect them. I mentioned two issues. First, of course, all politics is local. Secondly, I want to say, if at first you don't succeed, wait until the last moment and then try again. I believe that this is a GOP strategy. I believe that there is no need for them to hurry because they can raise all the funds that they want without the restriction of campaign finance laws. They can increase their speaking fees. They can travel across the country promoting their books and continue to get paid working for Fox News and the like. So why should they be concerned with the challenging problems facing our nation? Let's let the president worry about those hard problems. They're out to make money. It's the American way. However, there are reasons to think that Mr. Obama is vulnerable. The economy, two wars, high unemployment. So why is it only a few pseudo candidates have hinted towards a run. Well, rumor has it that many of these are thought to be bidding, abiding their time until 2016, when Mr. Obama, if reelected, would not be eligible to run, leaving the opportunity wide open. I would love to hear from you. So to join the conversation, the number to call is 323-580-5712. Once again, number is 323-580-5712. And when we return, we're going to open up the phone lines and take some calls. I would also solicit the wisdom of my co-host, Jima. Be back in a moment.
Current Events with Patrick Cook is joining the fight with First Lady Michelle Obama to help feed hungry children and stop childhood obesity. During the school year, many children receive free and reduced price breakfast and lunch as a result of the school breakfast and national school lunch programs. However, when the last bell sounds, marking the end of the school year, for many, it marks the beginning of hunger that will plague them throughout the summer. Here at Current Events, we're going to fill that nutrition gap and make sure children can get the nutritious meals they need. To learn how you can help with this worthy cause, go to TaylorMade101.com and click on Hunger Free. That's TaylorMade101.com and click on Hunger Free.
Enterprises have joined forces with Google Inc. and Amazon.com. With this new partnership, our companies, TaylorMade Training and Consulting, Current Events, and Ask Jima, can now offer you the best deals 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Whether you're looking for discounted books for your book club or a very special gift for a friend, family member, or loved one, TaylorMade's Marketplace is where you should go first. Visit our website at TaylorMade101.com. And click on Marketplace to get the best deals today.
Welcome back to Current Events with Patrick Cook. Before we take some calls, again, I'm going to solicit the wisdom of Ash Jima. So to join the conversation, the number to call is 323-580-5712. Again, that number is 323-580-5712. Jima, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So before we talk politics, I must visit this issue about the aliens. Now, people joke about aliens all the time. Quite naturally, the United States government has been exploring space for many, many, many years. So with this new discovery, I want to know from you, how does this change your view of the world in which we live?
It doesn't change my view of the world in any way. I'm not surprised that there may be some other life form out there. So I'm not at all surprised by that. So it didn't shock me any.
Okay, so now you watched this movie called The Event with Blair Underwood.
Yes.
What did you think of the show?
I absolutely loved it. It was a little, at first I was like, wow, you know, are these people really already walking around among us? Because they can look like us and their DNA is the same as ours, except for they didn't age. So it was quite interesting. I was intrigued by it. Like, I wonder if they're already here and we don't know it.
Which begs the question, do you think there could be aliens on this planet that live among us?
See, what's your definition of aliens?
Good question.
See, I would say if they're other life forms or they're other, I wouldn't necessarily say aliens.
Okay, well, to answer your question, in the context of anybody that's not from the planet Earth. Anybody or anything,
so,
I should say.
That's not from the planet Earth, that's considered an alien?
Correct. And by my definition, by this definition, yes.
And you, what was your original question? Do I think they're here already?
Do you think there could be aliens on this planet that live among us?
I'm going to say anything is possible. That's what I'm going to say.
Okay, so let me ask you another question then. So a few months ago in California, there was this thing that came from out of the sea, perhaps, and it kind of vanished into the space. It's vanished into the sky. So, you know, and I'm not going to use any type of distinct terms. I'm going to keep the terms vague because I don't know what it was, right? I mean, there was a reporter that was in a helicopter that videotaped it, and there was some news about it, but there was very little conversation about it. So now, having you know, in retrospective, looking at that event and bringing forward the fact that we've had all these dead birds and these dead fish, and now we have this professor finding this new alien life. What are your thoughts about all those activities?
Well, I think that's just who's ever doing the research and who's ever putting all these things together. I'm going to leave that to them because I think as Americans, if we know too much information, we can't handle it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it would be wise for them to tell us that there's other life forms here, because I really don't think we would be able to understand and comprehend what that really means. So I'm just going to leave it at that.
Okay. Well, let's shift gears for a minute then. Okay, so earlier I stated, by this time, 4 years ago, 8 Republicans and 10 Democrats had already thrown their hats in the ring. So far this year, no serious candidates had done so, though Newt Gingrich, a former House Speaker, has supposedly been on the point for declaring for some days. Now, I want to play something from Juan Williams that came out on Mars. So just take a listen.
Welcome to Fox News Sunday Panel Plus with Chris Steyerwald, Nina Easton, Kevin Madden, and Juan Williams. So Juan, let's pick up right with the discussion. And you were suggesting that the Republicans aren't getting in the race because they're scared of President Obama.
They don't think they can be beaten, and I think
that's what I mean.
Right, and so
I don't think they think they're going to be in a street fight. But
No. But I mean, I when you say scared of him, I don't think. I mean, look, there's lots of ways that you could certainly stir the Republican base, but you can't gain independents at this moment or moderates more directly. But even independents who lean conservative and lean Republican, they just aren't there right now. If you look at the same period.
Wait. I mean, we had a midterm election. The Democrats got clobbered. I'm not saying that immediately translates, but you ascribe a political power and support to Barack Obama that I don't think the facts.
Well, do you mind if I talk some facts, or do you want to interrupt me?
Well,
I mean, this is
actually,
you know, I had a call from Durbin. He said, "What is with this guy?"
Durbin refused to talk about himself.
All right.
So what's the answer to the question?
So the answer to the question is this. Ronald Reagan at this point was at 40%. Bill Clinton at 42%. You look at Barack Obama, he's at 50% in the FoxNews.com poll. I mean, his numbers are real-life numbers, and as I said to you during the show, only President Carter, and then if you go on to, you know, Bush, I mean, those are the only people who lost a second term, and only Carter lost a second term after taking control from the other party. It's just not going to happen.
Ronald Reagan, in his first 26 months in office, saw an unemployment drop of 3.3%. This president right now, given this big economic recession, has seen a drop in the unemployment rate of 0.5%. They are not on the same electoral track. They are not on the same popularity track. They are not on the same political track of consolidating the very big middle of the electorate that President Obama would need to get reelected. I will grant you this, that he is in a better position than most people think. There's a little bit too much dancing before anybody gets to the end zone here, but he is still in a very dangerous zone as an incumbent when it comes to trying to get reelected.
There's not one Republican. Let me just finish this, Kevin. There's not one Republican in the polls right
now.
Stop
talking while Juana's interrupting.
He holds a grudge. There's not one Republican in the polls right now who defeats President Obama.
I think there are a number of them.
So, as you can see, pundits, even from Fox News, I mean, people think that he can't be beat. So what's the hesitation nowadays? After all the last few months, all of this hate speech and all of this rhetoric going on out there, what changed?
I don't think anything has changed. The problem is they're realizing that all of the energy that they use to try to tear him down, somebody will then turn around and use that same amount of energy on them. And we keep talking about Newt Gingrich as if he left his speakership in such high esteem, and he did not. He had to leave under some very criminal issues, I believe. I know for sure ethical. So he's a disgraced former Speaker of the House, in my opinion. And, you know, we keep wanting to tout him as though he's a viable option. He's not a viable option. Sarah Palin's not a viable option. She has too many things that could hold her back. But you're right. They're out here making money. They're out here speaking to the base. But what these people have now realized is that although they did all that to get elected in the midterms, what the people that voted for them are realizing is these people really don't speak for me. So they know it's going to be a hard time coming out talking the same way they talked 4 or 5 months ago. You're not going to be able to talk that same language because these people that you were talking to then are now hurting. They're hurting more now. So you're going to have to come to them with something different. They don't have anything different to say. That's all they know is hate speech and to talk down about somebody and make up stuff about them, you know. That's all they know. These people now are in dire straits, and you're talking, you know, with the unions and teachers and education and cutting all these social services that I guess those people didn't realize that they utilized or how, you know, how greatly they depended upon them. Now that these governors and places are wanting to take them away, you're not going to be able to use that same logic come next year. It's not going to work.
So who do you think right now is a formidable candidate that could challenge Obama in the fall?
I can't really pick one. I would say if you were to combine probably Huckabee and Mitt Romney together, if they were one person, that might be your best one. But they both can come off very polarizing as well. They can speak to their base in such a way that will galvanize them for the moment, but I don't know if it'll push them completely over the mark. Either one of them might be nominated from their party, but I don't think they could beat the president with their platform right now because they haven't really said what they're standing for. They're just talking about him and getting rid of the health care and whether or not, you know, we don't know how he was raised. And so just because, you know, Huckabee was born in Arkansas, I know how he was raised. I might be from New York. I might not know nothing about what they do in Arkansas. So some of the things that they come up with, it's all about baiting and speaking to that base. It's really not about solving any other problems. I still have not heard anyone talk about jobs and how we're going to start making things back in America instead of everything being made in China or Bangladesh or Indonesia or wherever it's made from. How are we going to stimulate the economy? And you just can't keep saying it's the president and the stimulus because that's over. You're in power now, so do something with it.
So what's interesting to me is that I haven't heard any solutions about from the right outside of what the president is doing on the left for job creation. I mean, I've heard the country move from a job creation, job solutions, and from that particular rhetoric into a debt. We're in this major debt. Everything is about the debt these days as opposed to job creation. Everything is about cut, and not generate more revenue. What are your thoughts about that?
I agree with that. And I think the problem with that is I understand the need to be fiscally responsible. But if all you're doing is cutting and you're not talking about job growth as you stated, we're not going to be in any better position this time next year as we are right now. People are still going to be hurting. The industry that's going to do the most growth would be the penal institutions because people would be desperate And when you're desperate, you do desperate things. So our court dockets were overfilled. Our correctional systems, those people will have job security because you ain't going to have to lock up more people, have to build more prisons. So that's going to be an industry that's probably going to grow if we don't make a shift in how we address the problems. I understand we need to cut back, but if we were to take a look at the redundancy that's in not just government, not even federal government, but if you look down on a local level to your state governments and your local governments in terms of how things are, you have three layers. I can speak specifically to the juvenile department here in Dallas County, where you have a kid that comes into a system and he gets a caseworker. But if he goes into a facility, then he gets another caseworker. And then when he comes out of the facility and may step down to another program, he gets another caseworker. So this kid could potentially have three to four caseworkers. And for what?
Mm-hmm.
That not only is it not meeting the need of the kid, but at some point those three people are probably not talking to each other. And so it creates, you know, a system of just a lot of things going on and nothing going on at the same time.
So what I hear is that a solution would be to cut waste as opposed to cutting programs that could potentially enhance people's quality of life. For example, there are some talk right now about cutting out the PBS programs. There's some talking about the reading program that has been around for many, many, many years. So they're cutting critical programs that will potentially, make our children smarter or make our economy better, and as opposed to just cutting the waste.
Yeah, and cutting those sorts of programs, I think would be detrimental. We're already lagging behind, and I think the whole attack against PBS and that is a reaction to somebody's feelings being hurt. And they're not really thinking this thing all the way through in terms of public radio. So I really think that, you know, as you stated, we should take a really hard look at cutting waste and seeing those areas in which we have a duplication of services. How can we be more efficient in streamlining what it is that we're doing as opposed to cutting services to people that are in need?
Wow. Okay. Well, at any rate, at least my opinion is this campaign season probably won't start until after March Madness. I mean, it gives them a few more months to get out there and raise a few more dollars without being under the restrictions of campaign finance laws. It gives them a couple more book signings. It gives them a couple of more opportunities to do more speaking engagements before they have to be on the campaign trail. Up next, we're going to have Reverend Darrell. You're listening to Current Events with Patrick Cook. Current Events with Patrick Cook is joining the fight with First Lady Michelle Obama to help feed hungry children and stop childhood obesity. During the school year, many children receive free and reduced-price breakfast and lunch as a result of the school breakfast and national school lunch programs. However, when the last bell sounds, marking the end of the school year, for many, it marks the beginning of hunger that will plague them throughout the summer. Here at Current Events, we're going to fill that nutrition gap and make sure children can get the nutritious meals they need. To learn how you can help with this worthy cause, go to TaylorMade101.com and click on Hunger Free. That's TaylorMade101.com. And click on Hunger Free.
Cook Enterprises have joined forces with Google Inc. and Amazon.com. With this new partnership, our companies, TaylorMade Training and Consulting, Current Events, and Ask Jima, can now offer you the best deals 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Whether you're looking for a discounted book for your book club, or a very special gift for a friend, family member, or loved one, TaylorMade's Marketplace is where you should go first. Visit our website at TaylorMade101.com and click on Marketplace to get the best deals today.
Welcome back to Current Events with Patrick Cook. Today, we are joined by a very special guest, Daryl Matthews, a.k.a. Reverend Daryl. Now, Daryl became an ordained minister at the age of 24 and was the pastor of a church for a few years. Since that time, he completed a degree in computer programming and worked in middle management for about 20 years. However, the travel associated with his job prevented Reverend Daryl from continuing his pastorship. In 2005, he had complications from neck surgery, which prevented him from working for 2 years. This gave him an opportunity to get involved in child advocacy. He started an internet campaign which was focused on child abuse awareness and began counseling victims on abuse based on his ministry credentials. Eventually, he was accepted into the P. Luna Foundation and now serves as a volunteer and one of their biggest advocates. Reverend Daryl, welcome to the show.
Well, I appreciate it, Mr. Cook.
It is definitely a pleasure to have you. Now, so tell the audience a little bit about the P. Luna Foundation and its mission.
Okay. The Foundation, I'm getting an echo, but the P. Luna Foundation is all about abuse awareness and prevention and education. Becca Luna, who is the founder of the P. Luna Foundation, began with the war on abuse movement, and there was some more activism even prior to that. But I met her online when she was pushing the war on abuse movement, and she was actually nominated as the leader of the war on abuse movement. And basically what that means is that it is a war because we have victims who are mostly children, and then we have, a lot of adult victims as well. And, the epidemic of child abuse and exploitation is just growing tremendously and alarmingly. And so it's a war, and we're fighting this on every front. We're putting out, just all kind of information and anything that we can do to bring awareness to the communities, to the public. And we have excellent websites, and the P. Luna Foundation main site is plunafoundation.com. And from there, you can pretty much access everything else. I'm getting that echo again. I just put up a blog on my blog site for the foundation that gives some more resources. And on blogspot.com, that is Reverend, and it's spelled out, Reverend Daryl. Blogspot.com. And so it's links to resources.
Okay.
One thing we're pushing.
What is the the most challenging thing you have to deal with in this line of work?
I think it's the getting across to the public, people that feel that they're not affected by abuse, the magnitude of abuse in our society and how it actually does affect everybody, essentially, either directly or indirectly. I mean, the statistics are just staggering. It's just unbelievable.
Oprah talked about this on her show back in November, and I had Petra Luna on myself during the first week of December. As a society, we're starting to talk about it a little bit. What are your thoughts about that?
I think it's a great thing that we are. I hope that it will continue. There's so much hurt and so much pain out there. I've been working with a couple of groups here. One of them is a lot of the Catholics that were abused, and I'm not just targeting just, you know, the Catholic group, but abuse goes on and just all kind of, you know, entities and organizations and everything. But this is one particular group that I've been involved in, and you know, that's a step forward. And you know, people are they're crying out for help, but they don't know where to go to get help. They don't know how to deal with, you know, their pain and their struggles from their past abuse. And another one has to do with ritual abuse, and it's really alarming as to how much of this goes on in our nation. I think it was Geraldo that went out on a hunt for this kind of thing several years ago, and didn't come up with hardly anything, and it's because it is so secretive, and it is so these people, these victims are so threatened and so brainwashed that they're afraid to speak out. And so, and they need a voice. So, I mean, I get called into a lot of different, you know, areas, which I really love doing. But yeah, going forward, we need to rank it up.
So now, what do you think our churches, community leaders, and organizations can do about that? How can they get involved and assist these people?
What I'm doing locally, and we're making some progress. We've got to get to the leaders. We've got to present our case and our causes, and we've got to go armed with the statistics, and we've got to get across to them the problems that it's causing our society. For instance, in our community, what I'm doing, I've spoken with a lot of the church leaders and the mayor. And the mayor and I have talked two or three times over the past couple of years, and working on putting together one organization which is inclusive of all the, you know, different organizations dealing with families and children and these type of issues. And, you know, I made several suggestions to him, but basically, we'd have a round table and people that are dealing with hunger. People that are dealing with the homeless or under education, those type of things. Well, you know, I would be sitting there representing abuse issues. And so then we've got, you know, a more rounded and more complete circle of circumstances that we can, you know, carry out to the community. And I think if people just become aware, if we can get them to understand the impact that it has on these individuals, how much of it is going on just, you know, in our communities, and how the impact it has on society, not just as far as, you know, the individuals, but you know, on the money end of the issue, that's spent the billions of dollars. I learned that like 80% of traumatic or traumatized children, especially abused children, end up getting treated for some type of mental illness, whether it's depression, schizophrenia, or whatever. So, I mean, it's a real major question.
So what age groups? You talked about children. What are the age groups that you see most often?
Well, when we look at statistics, we look at, for instance, when I first started my campaign, you know, about 6 years ago, the general statistics saying one in four girls are molested by the age of 18, and I'm thinking from my experiences by that time, I'm thinking it's closer to 50%. They've upped that to one in three by the age of 18. One in six males sexually molested by the age of 16, and that's where, you know, Petra Luna got me involved into the male abuse awareness and support. On my blog site, I've got my email address for that particular support area. It's just horrifying to think about, you know, some of the stories that I hear, six-year-old girls who are raped and molested and tortured and, you know, just go through all these horrible things. Between those ages, you know, and 12, 13, or 17, 18 years old, you know, that's where, from what I understand, most of the abuses occur.
You're listening to Current Events with Patrick Cook. Today, my special guest is Daryl Matthews, a.k.a. Reverend Daryl. In 2005, he had complications from neck surgery, which prevented him from working for 2 years, and that gave him the opportunity to get involved in child advocacy. He started an internet campaign, which was focused on child abuse awareness, and began counseling victims of abuse based on his ministry credentials. Eventually, he was accepted into the P. Luna Foundation and now serves as a volunteer and one of the P. Luna Foundation's biggest advocates. So, Daryl, now, you talked about the fact that 1 in 6 males are abused before the age of 16. Now, so when these victims are abused, what did they do to go about, you know, getting the word out, letting people know that they've been affected in this manner?
First of all, the majority of males are reluctant to speak out, but I am seeing more and more of them do that. That is one reason that I have spoken out about my past. What I went through as a child is nothing compared to what the majority of these people have gone through. I made a couple of videos on YouTube, which is on my, you know, Facebook page. You can, you know, link to them. You know, they need to, or number one, what's going to happen if a male does not get help? He's going to go down one or two roads. He's going to either implode or explode. If he implodes, you know, it's self-destruction. If he explodes, in other words, he's going to have victims himself. He's going to continue that cycle of abuse. And if I remember correctly, the stats say that when that occurs, 1 male victim will victimize 20 people in his lifetime. So, I mean, it's just, you know, it's just horrendous. But to get help is the major thing. Some people don't want to speak out publicly. That's fine. You can go to the P. Luna or you can go to our helpforguys.org site and search for resources there. That's help and the number 4 guys. .org. You can state, you know, your situations or circumstances, your experiences there anonymously. You can contact me anonymously. We need to speak out. We need to continue speaking out. And that's the main reason that I did, is to try to encourage others to do so as well. So it's a difficult thing, but it needs to be done. They need to get help. They need to, you know, seek professional help. And I want to just say this real quick. I've been involved with Petra Luna, the P. Luna Foundation, for quite a while. And just this, you know, this last year, Petra Luna told me something that was really important. She said, Daryl, she said, you have got to deal with your past abuses before you can effectively help others. And that got me to thinking, I had not suppressed memories of what happened. I had suppressed feelings of those memories. And so we got to the bottom of that, and that just caused me to blossom out and, you know, just and have a starting point to start dealing with those issues. So, yeah, speaking out is so important.
So what were some of the issues you were dealing with?
Personally, in my life, physical abuse, and which it depends on the circumstances, whether the child feels like they are being treated that way out of anger, out of hate, out of, you know, those kind of things. A good whipping I didn't mind, but when I got to those circumstances where it became a personal issue, that affected me tremendously, and it affected me on through my life. Made me the target of bullies. It made me, it destroyed my self-esteem. And, it took me years and years and years to even figure out what was going on. it can be very devastating. I can only imagine a lot of these people has gone through a lot more than I have, the struggles that they go through.
Do you believe that a man can lead a healthy, full, and creative life after surviving child sexual abuse?
I think so. I always hope. There's got to be a lot of support, a lot of understanding from the community, from our churches, from support groups. Support groups are great. There's tons of them out there. And places where people can go and just, vent but getting professional help. And from what I understand, these feelings never go away. There are triggers. You have to learn to avoid those triggers as much as possible. But I think that, these individuals can lead a productive and almost normal life, like I said, there's going to be challenges all the way through, but they are challenges that if taught properly and, with the proper support, they can definitely have a much better, more fulfilling life. That's what we'll
Okay, so Ramdale, if you could reach out to someone out there in our listening audience that may be experiencing abuse or have experienced it in the past, what would you like to say to them right now?
I'd like to say to them that it's not your fault. That's one of the first things that I tell people, because it's not. And that's what guilt is. Unwarranted guilt is one of the, major factors of, causing people to, blame themselves. But it's not your fault. Reach out for help. Don't be ashamed, because you did nothing wrong. And is hope. I have gone from being, scared and afraid and victimized to a survivor, and that's the transition that we want to try to make is going from a victim to a survivor. And, we have tons of resources at the Cleveland Foundation. Contact somebody, talk with somebody, get some help. But, I'm always available on Facebook. You can go to my blog site and get my link to Facebook. There's all kind of, like I said, resources available.
Hey, so Ramdale, give everyone those links again, those resources again, all the sites that you have out there. You mentioned your blog, you mentioned the Pete Luna Foundation, you mentioned Help for Guys. So tell everyone out there what those sites are.
Okay, I'm going to give you two. All right, one is my blog site, which I have just listed several links that I've mentioned on there, so they can go there and find the links that they need. But it's Reverend Darrell, R-E-V-E-R-E-N-D, and that's Darrell, D-A-R-R-E-L-L, www.blogspot.com. Okay, and then there's the P. Luna Foundation. That's the letter P as in Paul, lunafoundation.com. And then there's help, the number 4, guys.org. And those are the 3 main resources, you know, and they will link you to the other ones.
Outstanding. Okay, Reverend Darrell, we're about closing in on the last few minutes of the show. I want to give you have any closing comments?
Yeah, I mean, I would just like to tell everybody that's listening out there and anybody listening to this is, we, as advocates, we want to help. There is help. We love you guys from the bottom of our hearts. I don't judge people. I don't preach to people. I try to lead. Guide if they ask. I try to listen, but we're here to help. We're not here to judge you or tell you what to do with your life. We're here to just to provide, you know, the resources, the embracing the love and all that kind of thing that you need to go ahead and move to the next step. But I just encourage everybody to, if you suspect child abuse, report it. If you've been abused, or if you have, you know, someone in your life that you know or you suspect is being abused, report it, because it's got to stop. That's my.
All right, Reverend Dale, I really appreciate it. Thanks for joining the show today. Today, our very special guest was Reverend Darrell Matthews, a.k.a. Reverend Darrell. In 2005, he had complications from neck surgery, which prevented him from working for 2 years. This gave him the opportunity to get involved in child advocacy. He started an internet campaign which was focused on child abuse awareness and began counseling victims of abuse based on his ministry credentials. Eventually, he was accepted into the P. Luna Foundation and now serves as a volunteer and one of their biggest advocates. Reverend Darrell, I really appreciate you joining the show today.
Thank you very much. My pleasure.
Thanks to all the listeners for tuning in. I would like to thank my very special guest today. You're listening to Current Events with Patrick Cook. I'm your host, Patrick Cook, coming to you live from Dallas, Texas, as I do every Sunday at 4 p.m. Central Time, 5 o'clock Eastern. We are the number one resource for small business and nonprofits. Don't forget to bookmark this site and visit my blog at TaylorMadeTalkRadio.blogspot.com. That's TaylorMade Talk Radio, all one word, .blogspot.com. Until next time, remember, it is written, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. So stay engaged, stay informed, and stay plugged in to Current Events with Patrick Cook. You're listening to the sounds of Joyce Spencer, Sweet Dreams. Take us away, Joyce.